Today is the 23rd of the 1st, 2017. I'm interviewing Keith and Diane Taylor, retired farmers. Keith's family used to farm in the Havelock North area. Keith, I'm looking forward to hearing about the life and times of your family. So would you like to start off?
Well, my great-grandfather, Joseph Taylor, was born on the 10th of July, 1844, in Staffordshire, England. His early working days were spent working on farms, then later in mines preparing the timber and props for the working underground after this spell with the railways. On his arrival in New Zealand with his wife Mary and their three children, fourth child born in New Zealand, Joseph employed on farms for the first 2 years until he settled on a property he purchased in Napier Road.
So Keith, he came by sailing ship to Napier, yeah. And this is where they landed.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they stayed in Napier for a start, but that was the house you talked about in Napier Road. What's the names that lived there? I can't think. That's where they were. He worked as a contractor in various ways and also had very successful bacon curing project for a number of years. He was always very willing helper when there was work to be done. He was a very loyal and devoted supporter of the Anglican Church, and a service he gave for over 24 years was to clean and fill the kerosene lamps every Saturday afternoon. Joseph was the holder of a rather unique record. Despite advancing age, the complications of motor driving held no terror for him, for he purchased a Ford Model T truck and learnt to drive on his 84th birthday. Joseph departed this life in his 85th year, 8th of September 1928.
So that was before you were born, so you never knew him then?
No. Mary Ann Taylor, née Harvey, was born the 9th of July 1843 in Little Hay, Staffordshire. She married Joseph Taylor at Litchfield in the parish of Shenstone, Staffordshire, 2nd of May 1864, by the Reverend R.W. Essington. During her early working days, Mary was employed as a servant, settling in a new country with her husband and family. She adjusted easily. Mary was a wonderful, homely person and the most hospitable one could wish to be. A memorable occasion was when Mary celebrated her 95th birthday, and many happy returns were recorded from all parts of the province. Mary passed away 6 months later, 15th of January 1939. She was described as being one of the oldest and most respected persons of the district. Joseph and Mary Taylor, with their children Agnes, William and Mary, departed from Plymouth, England in the May Queen in August the 9th, 1879, commanded by Captain Tatchell. During the 90-day voyage to New Zealand, the ship was becalmed in the doldrums, and it was quite an ordeal going through the tropics when the tar melted on the decks. The ship did not provide any food, only water, and the emigrants took their joints of pickled pork and beef to the ship's galley where it was cooked for them. They touched the Canary Islands en route but did not see land again until the morning of the 7th of November 1879, when they landed at Napier. The May Queen was wrecked at Littleton on her 16th voyage to New Zealand in 1888. She was blown up on a reef. A tug endeavoured to tow her off, but in vain, for she had gone aground at nearly high water. Agnes Taylor was born the 21st of September 1865 in Staffordshire, England. Agnes celebrated her 14th birthday on board the ship during the voyage to New Zealand with her parents. On leaving school, she went out to work doing housework and cooking. One situation was working for the Nelson family at Waikuku. Agnes married Arthur Tickner, and they raised a family of three sons and four daughters: Arthur, Elsie, Ruby, Frank, Marshall, Harold, William, Agnes, and Vera, and Mary Rita. During these years, it was very rare occasion if she was not home to greet her family on their arrival home from school. The family milked their own cows and made butter. Agnes died in April 1949.
What an experience it must have been for her as a 14-year-old coming out on a sailing ship.
William Taylor, my grandfather, was born 17th of May 1868 at Little Hay near Shenstone in Staffordshire. He was 10 when his parents decided to migrate to New Zealand. Following in his father's footsteps, when he left school, he worked as a contractor for various farmers. William married Charlotte Cook, and in 1900 he bought land and built a house for his wife and family of three sons and a daughter: Jack, Thomas, Eric, Doris Ward, and William Joseph, in Middle Road, Havelock North. A grandson owns and farms this property today. William was the first farmer to introduce the revolutionary practice of smoko in 1900. There was some grumbling among other farmers, but they soon followed suit. William Taylor died the 28th of March 1952 in his 84th year.
Those old farmers, they were tough. It was all manual work.
It must be hard going. I just gave a photo to Wayne the other day of the place down there, and the whole paddock, whole area is stacked up with big sacks of spuds. And the story goes, I don't know what year it was, there was no date on it, but he loaded a boat for Australia and went with the boat to Australia. That's the story goes. But, you know, just to get those big bags of spuds from there to make...
Well, I always remember my father used to talk about your father growing potatoes, because he was renowned for growing spuds down there. Were you ever able to grow potatoes at the level that they did?
Yeah, well, probably, yeah. This particular time, it looks like the whole place was potatoes, but, I mean, we had paddocks of them, but not...
Because they didn't have forklifts?
Well, I think they contracted people to dig them out and pick them up. Mary Taylor was born on the 1st of May 1871 at Little Hay, Staffordshire, England, and was 8 years old when she came to New Zealand with her parents in 1879. On leaving school, Mary worked as a housekeeper for a time. She was employed by John Chambers at Timata. Mary married Joseph Pomeroy, and they had three sons: Joseph William, Charles Henry, and Frederick George. During these years, they resided at Travelmond in Middle Road, Havelock North, where they milked cows, grew vegetables, and had an orchard. This property is still owned by a son, Fred, and most of the trees are still bearing fruit to this day. What year was this?
81, was it? I'm not sure. Have a look on the front of the book.
1979.
It must have been quite a commune. It was a meeting place, because there weren't many families.
Well, my grandfather worked out on Tuki Tuk Station.
And that was Coops, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and he would have gone and rode his horse through the river every day.
Well, yeah, but they took the old homestead from Lawn across the river by traction engine. Have you got it?
Yeah. Well, we got the photo of the fire, didn't we?
Because when they took it across the river, some sparks from the traction engine set the house on fire.
Alice Taylor was born the 3rd of December 1880 in Hastings, just a year after her parents arrived in New Zealand. Leaving school, Alice helped at home making butter and delivering milk. She sang in the St Luke's Church Choir at Havelock North and also taught Sunday school. Alice married Walter Webb, and they had four sons and a daughter: Walter Frederick, Florence Alice, Douglas Harvey, Arthur Taylor, and Leonard Joseph. They established the nursery in Nelson Street, Hastings, on the grounds present occupied by Watty's Canneries. A son and grandson now operate the nursery in Middle Road, Havelock North. Alice Webb passed away on the 11th August 1963. So it's just about that, like it.
Most of the Taylors then would have gone to the Havelock North Primary School.
Yes. Two sons went to Havelock North High School, and a daughter went to Napier Girls High School. And the last son, he was partly handicapped, he went to St Luke's School.
Was that Bill?
Bill. So Jack Taylor, he carried on farming on his own account in Middle Road for a few years, and he lost the farm in the Depression years, then worked for the Nimmons until he went to the Wairarapa and worked for the Williamses.
Oh, yes, yes.
My father, he got an apprenticeship with Estor and Panamint, and in the Depression times he went and worked for Shrimpton's at Matapero as a farm mechanic chauffeur, and then carried on and worked for the Shell Oil Company for a long time before moving to Taupo. They've had a commercial launch.
I remember you talked about your father being in Taupo with the, with the launch. He owned some of the land in Havelock, Middle Road, didn't he?
Yeah.
He owned 20 acres of it, did he? And your uncle owned the
other 20 acres.
Did they farm it while he was away? Because you were still being a mechanic at that stage, weren't you?
Yeah, the farm was leased out after a while to the mason until he, Mason, got killed. And the thing all folded up. Then we leased 20 acres for a while, and then eventually we bought the other 20 or 5 acres.
So you were born and lived in the homestead on Middle Road?
Yeah. You went down there. They were there at the...
Oh, well, I live
in... Then they bought the house in Hastings for many years before going to Taupo. And my father ended up being an engineer for DSIR, for Wairaki, the geothermal power scheme.
So that brings it to you and your brothers and sisters. Are you the only son?
No, those two other brothers, four sisters. There's Michael, who he was with, you know, on the tractors. Tractors.
Mike Taylor, was he a brother of yours?
Yes, and Ross was an engineer at Waddy's. Yeah, I'm the oldest one. You see, there was four sisters, and then they were after that to the younger family, you know.
Yes.
8 years or something.
Yeah, but there were two girls in between the boys.
Four girls.
And are they still alive?
No, two sisters died, and one resides in Wellington, and one's in the home in Taupo. He's got MS.
And what about Mike?
He's residing in Hastings. He's in LaSalle Street.
So you went to school and your brothers and sisters trottled off to Havelock North?
No. My parents shifted to Taupo in 1948, the year of the polio, and the Taupo school was only a native school in those days, so I came down to live with my grandparents and go to Havelock School. My sisters eventually went to Taupo School and Napier Girls High School.
I always remember Keith at school. He brought along these pamphlets of these E27N Fords and tractors, half tracks and all those things, and we thought he was just so smart that he actually knew someone to even get the pamphlets.
Oh, we had the tractor. Oh, we got one on the farm, E27N. We would have had it those years.
And you eventually went off to
Napier Boys High School as a boarder.
And then became a...
Had an apprentice in Hastings, Monic Motors.
Did you start out as an apprentice on tractors, or were you on... It was much less complicated then, Keith, wasn't it? There were no computers.
Yes, things were different altogether. And it was easier, reasonably easy to get a job in those days.
Yes.
For young people compared to today.
So you did your time there, and obviously at some stage or other you met Diane. While you were an apprentice, or had you finished?
I finished that.
And you carried on at Monic Motors?
Yeah, I was there for 10 years, and then some of the family farm came up for lease, and I leased that for a couple of years. Then we got married and lived at Parkaway for another 10 years before moving back to Havelock for 32 years.
So, where did you meet Diane? Did she bring her tractor into heaven?
Just through family.
In the streets. Friday night, I was up the street with John Beale. She was up the street with the Elaine Morley, that was, Maureen Gray, and the two of them.
Yes, I've forgotten about your friendship with the Grays.
They're related.
Through which?
Dad's family.
Mrs. Grey.
She was Dad's first cousin. No, second cousin.
So anyway, you married. Now, I'm going to ask Diane where her folks came from.
Well, my grandfather, John Flanders, he was born in Lincolnshire, Boston in Lincolnshire, in July 1855. Sadly, we didn't know anything about his descendants because he was illegitimate. Anyway, he was married for a short time in England and his wife died. And then when he was about 28, he decided to come to New Zealand. And on the ship, he met his future wife, who was Margaret Wiggett. She was born in 1864 in Tewkesbury in Gloucestershire. Her parents were William Wiggett and Mary Nee Gardner. Then they were married later in the year after they arrived in New Zealand. They came out on the Coptic and they had six family. During the next 20 years they produced six family. Their first association when they arrived in Havelock North with the district was their residence, The Lawn. It was a well-known homestead near Clive. A short period in the Waipawa area followed, and then they returned to The Lawn before settling at Munga Territory in 1900, making their home at Riversley. They bought 70 acres from Thomas Tanner for £40, $80, with a deposit of £50, and established an orchard, which gave John a full-time occupation. John's time on the land was short, as he parted this life on the 4th of February 1908, at Riversley in his 53rd year.
Well, that's interesting, because 70 acres would have encompassed all the land that the other Flanders eventually
bought and added on to that area. They call it Flandersville out there now.
Yes. So your father was a brother of George Flanders?
No, he was a cousin. Yeah, there weren't many years in between the two of them. Dad and Uncle George, they got on so well together. Margaret Wiggett was born at Tewkesbury in Gloucestershire on the 15th of February 1864 to Mary Nee Gardner and William Wiggett. She was a domestic at home until she decided to immigrate to New Zealand in 1884, and it was on that journey that she met her future husband John. When John died in 1908, Margaret took over control of the orchard with the help of her eldest son John, who actually was my grandfather. She also grew flowers and sold these to the market. An early settler, Margaret was associated with the Munga Territory Clive districts for 60 years, and she died at the Eversley Hospital on October the 3rd, 1945, aged 81, after living a very full life. She was of quiet and retiring disposition and was well known in the area and held the highest esteem by the whole community. As I said, they came on the Coptic to Napier. And I've just got a note here. When they berthed at Napier, the Coptic was loaded with 300 carcasses of mutton besides other cargo. Lizzie, their eldest child, the eldest child of John and Margaret, was born at The Lawn, Clive, 1884. She attended Clive School and then for a short time at Poririe before returning to Clive and Munga Territory. School days over, she remained at home helping her mother. Very interested in handwork, she did many fine pieces, and a great lover of flowers and a very keen gardener, an interest she continued through her life. Lizzie married Walter By, and they had one daughter, Alice. For many years, and until her death, they resided at Tiawonga. Lizzie passed away 1962, August the 22nd, aged 77 years. Then my grandfather, the second one, John William Flanders. He was born at Clive in May 1886, and at an early age his family moved to Poririe, and when he was about 8 they returned to The Lawn. He attended the Clive School. School days over, he worked at home on the orchard until 1926, when he took over a portion of the land, continuing there until his retirement. Now that was the block they bought on the corner of Riversley Flanders Road. They bought that house there. It was an old house, I remember it.
It's on the right hand side of the road.
As you turn into Flanders, right back down to the river, and then Mum and Dad built a house a couple hundred metres down the road on that bend, and Dad worked in the orchard there with his father for many years. John married Mary Franklin, and that's another big family, and they had six children, two sons and four daughters.
During these years, John served on the committee of the Maunga Territory School, which his family attended. Seemed funny, some of them went to Havelock School and some went to Maunga Territory, wasn't it? One son, Charles, he died at the age of 3. It was my uncle. John retired in 1946 and moved into Hastings to live there. During these years, he and his wife were both keen bowlers. John parted this life at his home on the 27th of June 1964, aged 78. The second of the family of John and Margaret, named their daughter Margaret. She was born at Pōuriuri in March 1888, and when she was nearly 9, her parents returned to live at the Lawn. After attending Clive's school, Margaret worked at home. She loved the garden, grew flowers and vegetables. Prior to the death of her father, they used to travel around Sind Island, Bluff Hill, as it is now known, selling their wares from an old cart. She also had an interest in tapestry and fine needlework. Margaret married Herbert Webb and they had 2 daughters. Margaret passed away on the 8th of July 1960. Another son, Charles, was born at Pōuriuri in March 1894 and was only a few months old when his parents moved back to the Lawn and he attended Maunga Territory School. He was only 14 when his father died, and upon leaving school at this time, he remained at home to help on the orchard. After a short life, Charles accidentally shot himself while climbing through a fence on the 1st of May 1913, aged 19 years. It was the first day of duck shooting. Then there was Ernest. He was born at Clive, 2nd of September 1895, being educated at Maunga Territory School till 13 years old. He then took up the carpentry trade. Enlisting for service in the First World War on his 21st birthday, Ernest served in France and Belgium with the 4th Rifle Brigade. Wounded in France, he returned from war on the Matarea. He was then foreman carpenter at the Whakatū Freezing Works until 1926, when he took up orcharding on the Riversleigh property at Maunga Territory, where he remained until a week before his death. A son and grandson still are on that land to this day. Ernest married Elizabeth Cunningham and they had 1 son and a daughter. He was the eldest member of the Napier Cosmopolitan Club and also a member of the Returned Servicemen's Club. At the age of 58, Ernest passed away on the 11th of February 1954 at the Hastings Memorial Hospital. Then there was George Nehan. He was the youngest of the family. He was born at Riversleigh, 7th of May 1905, and attended Maunga Territory School. School days over, George went to the Whakatū Works, where he did an apprenticeship as an electrician. In 1926, when he was 21, the family orchard was divided amongst the 3 sons. George, taking over his share, continued orcharding until his death, although he was an ill man in the latter years. George married Maud Summersby, and they had a family of 8, 5 sons and 3 daughters. George Nehan Flanders died at Royston Hospital, Hastings, 14th of March 1958, aged 52 years.
What was Ernest's son's name?
Colin. And there was Colin and Betty. Betty married Ken Swanwick.
And Colin married
Loma.
He actually used to work at Estor and Trenemans.
What was his name? He was at Pakahu.
It's fascinating how these families divided and worked.
Well, they had to get on.
Poor old Uncle George, it's Dad's uncle. He was, riddled with arthritis.
He was out a few years.
He looked an old man from the first time I ever met him,
You had 3 children?
We had 3 children, yes. Graham, who has 2 children, and Wayne, married in later life and had 2 stepchildren at that stage. And then Marie's got 2 children, the youngest daughter.
Well, that probably covers the family to that point. After you came back and leased the land and grew crops for Watties.
We farmed at Middle Road for 32 years, growing crops for the market and for Watties. Potatoes, tomatoes, beans, sweet corn, everything that Watties required. And then we retired from the farm and moved to Highway 50 and had a lifestyle block and bed and breakfast business there. And now we retired to Green Meadows.
You used to run a bed and breakfast at Havelock too, Middle Road.
28 years.
Now, of course I've known Mike Taylor, but he seems so much younger than Keith.
He's 8 years.
Yes. I always remember Keith coming down to your place, and amongst the few trees at the edge of the property, there was an old tractor. I think you said to me recently that one of your sons is mothering it at the moment.
It needs a lot of work. It's possible, but it's improbable.
Kids got in and smashed all the front of it with sticks and radiator and hacked it all up.
But they had that old tractor from 1917 with a big four furrow plough. They had a lot of acres around Havelock North because they had areas that they leased down Middle Road and then another block down further opposite the Webbs, block in the back of there.
Imagine taking that down the road with those big cage wheels.
It was old metal road, of course. Yeah. One gear forward, one gear reverse.
Not many horses, but the horses had big feet.
Yeah. To pull a four furrow plough, my father took a photograph of it ploughing in the early days and had a photo in the Auckland Weekly News. After they supplied a photograph of them ploughing with horses in the South Island, he put the photograph of the tractor ploughing in the North Island and said, "This is how we do it."
We talk about the children and working, but we don't talk about socialising. What did you do at night? If you went out, did you go to balls or what did you do?
We went to the local dances and went to different societies to the annual balls. Belonged to the Junior National Party, which was a monthly get-together.
The dusty old hall down Warren Street.
Premier, was it?
No, Buffalo Hall.
Premier is where we went to dances.
That's the Catholic hall.
We used to go a lot of dances.
All the men stood around the entrance and all the women sat like caged hens around the edge of the dance floor.
We used to go over to Napier to the dances over there.
Majestic, Top Hat.
Yeah, Top Hat.
The Cabaret Cabana.
Yeah.
But they were quite exciting times, really.
Yeah, much better than I think what the young ones have. You know, they don't go to dances or anything these days. I think we were brought up in the better years.
What did you do for your holidays? Where did you go?
First 2 years before we went to Taupo, my parents living there. In the latter years, we got a caravan and ventured further afield.
We used to have a lot of family holidays. We'd go away, caravan, all around New Zealand.
But our lifestyle, I suppose, was our caravan to Tutira quite often to get away from our 24/7 working days. And an annual holiday was caravans up north in South Island or somewhere.
Keith, you must have noticed a great deal of difference. When you started as a mechanic working on motors of tractors, they didn't have hydraulics.
Yes, we remember that we could get a Fordson tractor for £308, I think it was, on steel wheels and no electrics. And return servicemen could afford to buy those tractors. And a lot of them used them for crushing scrub. A Caterpillar tractor was worth probably three times that amount in those days, and they couldn't afford to use them. Yeah, the tractors, when I first started, did have hydraulics, but only just a lift, not a system like the Ferguson system that came later.
Are the Fords still being built, Ford tractors?
Well, they've all went into the New Holland setup.
Oh, of course,
swallowed
that,
up
that's
into
right.
That. Well, of course, now there's New Holland, John Deere, Class, I think it's still on their own. But the ATCO company owned nearly all the other tractors. They owned Caterpillar,
and that's
Ferguson.
Part of Alice Chalmers, wasn't it, originally? They bought Alice Chalmers out, ATCO.
It's Alice and Green something or other company, part of it there. And that was sort of tied to Alice Fed. They own Caterpillar, Perkins and all those companies now.
I often wonder when I see some of these people with these huge tractors, how they even make them pay, or whether they just move the higher purchase on when they buy the next one.
Oh, I look at it, you know, we had the old Fordson, a set of discs, a set of Harris, and a roller, one behind the other. It didn't cost a great lot of money, and now they're using tractors that cost a couple of hundred thousand, plus a machine on the back that does the whole lot in one pass. It costs a lot more money as well.
Now, is there anything else